Ezekiel chapter 3. So just think about that, Brother Alan Snyder, just a good, man, and hated to lose him at such a young age. But God has bigger plans than we do. And y'all do know God knows the day we're going to die, right? We're shocked when things happen. But God knows exactly when it's going to happen. He knows the bounds of our habitation. And you don't always wait till you're in your 70s and 80s and 90s to pass away. And so make sure that your heart's right with God. You're in the will of God. And doing what the Lord wants, okay? Ezekiel chapter 3, let's stand together. I'm going to read several verses and then we'll be seated. And Ezekiel chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse 1, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat." Man, that's like a life verse, isn't it? "Cause thy belly to eat, fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, speak with my words unto them." Of course, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. "For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee." Wouldn't you love to be told that in Bible college? Brother Matthew, Brother Avery, Brother Caleb. "Hey, listen, guys, you give your life to ministry. Ain't nobody going to listen to you." Wow. But I think that goes back to what I said yesterday morning at the soul winning meeting, is success is found in being obedient to God. Not in coming back saying, "I led 5 people to Christ." That's wonderful if you're able to, if that happens. But success is found in, "I planted the seed." That's what God tells us to do. So he says, "The house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me." The issue is with God, not between us and them. "For the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. They have no shame. They don't care. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint." It talks about a stone there. "Have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of the people. Speak unto them, tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing." That reminds me of Acts chapter 2. "Saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I said, I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Came to pass at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life." Remember the word saved we talked about this morning. "The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Again, I'm going to talk about the campaign coming up, preach a little bit, but you might want to jot some things down. I'm going to give you a couple of things we're going to be doing during this campaign and some dates, some things you might want to remember. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message tonight? And I pray you'll challenge us as we go into this next month. And thank you for your blessings already upon our church. But Lord, you know my heart. And you know how badly as a pastor I want our church to get to the next level. And so, Lord, I pray you do that this fall. Well, thank you for what you do in our hearts tonight. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title, of course, of the message is All Aboard. That's the theme. If you've seen that around the building, if you've been up in the youth department, I haven't been up there today, but I saw it this week as they were developing the train, the little, I think, an engine and some lights, really neat looking stuff. Some of you bus workers will get to see it after church tonight, but that is the theme of our next 4 weeks is All Aboard. Here's what it means. We would like to see each member of this church get all aboard when it comes to prayer, when it comes to fasting, when it comes to witnessing to others, and when it comes to inviting people to church. Now, let me stress again something I said earlier. The way that a church growth campaign works is, to be successful, we first have to have our own church family show up to church. And we can show up to anywhere else. We can make it to doctor's appointments on time. We can make it to school on time. We can make it to our job on time. We can make it to work, to church if we care. So the idea is get on board, get in, and get involved. Here's what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks. This is where I'm going to give you a little explanation and some things you might want to write down. Each Saturday at 11 a.m., the next four Saturdays, including this Saturday, it's not a soul-winning meeting. We're not going to have donuts for you. We're not going to meet together and get a challenge. We're not going to sing. But if you're available and you'd like to come up here at 11 a.m. on Saturday, I'll be here. I'm going to be in charge of that because he has his buses. And normally by then they're already out and about. So this is not a formal meeting. This is just giving you specific, instead of thinking, you know, over the next month, I'm going to go do some door knocking. This is some specific times, 11 a.m., the next four Saturdays. Now I realize that, I know a couple weeks from now, all you ladies are going to be at the ladies seminar on a Saturday morning. I realize that. I realize we have three families in our church that have vacations in the next month. I realize that. When I give a calendar in January or December for the next year, and if you haven't been on vacations, I think it ought to be important to you what's on the church calendar. But when we bring stuff up during the year, as we always do, you know, I understand that there's already a surgery planned or put off that surgery, you'll live, be a soul winning. Now, I understand, and I understand you already got a trip, so it's don't feel bad about that stuff at all, other than I don't get invited. But other than that, don't feel bad about that stuff at all. But the next four Saturdays, if you want to, find you a partner. Somebody could go with me, but find you a partner, and 11 a.m., you be I'm going to go knock doors, Lord willing, the next four Saturdays at 11 a.m. There'll be no nursery. There's no. And by the way, I think everybody that has the health to walk ought to get out and knock a door every once in a while. Okay, so that's going to be going on. Now, you say, well, I can't get out and walk. That's completely understandable. But I like Brother Dale and Brother Duncan's have this thing going now, a ministry to all the new move-ins. And they have their own way of reaching these people. And, you know, Mrs. Long, a lady that used to be in our church years and years ago, died in her 90s, but she couldn't get out. She'd sit on the phone and go down the phone book list and call people. Where there's a will, there's a way in inviting people to church. So each Saturday, the next four Saturdays. So on your calendar there, I'm going to leave that right there, but on your church calendar, it probably says there's an all-in Saturday on Saturday, October 14th. We're not going to do that, okay? That's going to be right after the revival, so we're not going to have that. Some of you ladies are going to be at Parkside. Miss Ogden's speaking at Arlington, and then she's speaking at Mesquite. She's big time. She has more meetings than I have, so she can preach better than me, too. But only if I don't take the trash out, but no, I'm just kidding. But so the next four Saturdays, if you'd like, come up here and get a map and go knock some doors or go visit a Sunday school class or go, you know, don't make it. You know, honestly, I appreciate the help on the bus route, but I hate it when we have all in Saturday and all of a sudden 30 people want to visit a bus route. And it's been good the last couple of weeks, but 30 people to go visit a bus route, bringing in 12. We don't have to have that. What we need is some people out there knocking doors and telling people about the Lord and inviting people to church. And so if you can do it, great. Here's the thing. You say, I can't do that. Maps will be available every day. Come Wednesday, we'll get Brother Trent. He knows about it, but he's off tomorrow. And let's say by Thursday, we're going to have some maps available in the Wills Point area. And you can come up here any time of the day. You let me know. You let him know. We'll give you instruction on that. We're just going to kind of spend a month trying to motivate people to go out and witness, invite people to church. Really, folks, let's be honest. If you have the health to walk, there is no excuse. Amen. None. Some of you are in your 20s and you do very little for the cause of Christ. And you're at your best right now. Okay? You're in your 30s. You're starting to break a little bit, but you're still at a place where you can do something. So, if we got people in their 70s, if my old dad at 70, he'd be 72, I think, here in a couple of weeks, same birthday day as Joshua. Man, if he can get out there still, you can get out there and knock a few doors. Okay? So each Saturday at 11, the next four Sundays, maps will be available. I'm going to ask you something about fasting. And I've never, it's been 23 years, but I don't know if I've ever called for a church fast. And I'm not doing that right now, okay? Nothing wrong with doing that. But I am going to ask you this, if you do want to jot it down. The next four Fridays, as we're heading into October 8th, which is that revival day, I believe it's October 8th. But the next four Fridays, I want you to consider this. And young people, when we had a Christian school, we had some young ladies in that Christian school that would fast. When I asked for a fast, you'd find out they're fasting. Even when I didn't ask for it, they'd be fasting over something. I think they were trying to pray to get rid of Brother Greg or something. And they were like, I don't know if it was fasting. It might have just been hunger strike. But the next four Fridays, here's what I would ask anybody to at least consider. Consider fasting one meal. Or consider fasting two meals, or consider fasting 24 hours. I'm not going to tell you what to do, and God knows your heart, okay? God knows your heart. Some of you have medicines. My blood pressure medicine, I don't have to take food for. But when I take my vitamins, if I don't take the food first, I feel like I'm going to throw up within 5 minutes. But there are days where, like this morning, I didn't eat breakfast, so I just don't take the vitamins. So there are days I'll forget to even take them through the whole day. So I'm just asking you, folks, listen, I really want to see this church get to the next level. I know we extended the pews a few years ago. We had it like 50 seats, and I know we've suffered some loss this year, even though we've gained some, we've lost some. That's just the way church is. But I just don't believe God's done. Because as soon as you think we've reached everybody and we've asked everybody, that new family pops in from a street that we've knocked a million times. And I just believe if we got serious corporately, collectively, for a month. Yeah. Say, let's do more than just Saturday once a month, and we do what we do, and we go home, and it's over with. Let's everybody in here, young adults, teenagers, moms, dads, get serious about getting a map. You say, man, I don't know how to tell people how to be saved. I think Brother Trent's the one who said it recently. If you've been saved, you know how to tell somebody to get saved, okay? You don't have to have a fancy Bible college degree and a 6 weeks course. I realize some things can help you. And sometimes we need some training, you know? It's about being willing to do something. Okay, so let's do some soul winning. Let's do some fasting on Fridays. I'm going to try, by the grace of God, to do a 24-hour fast. It won't kill me. But I know for some of you, That for whatever reason, your medicine or you know, maybe some of you ladies in here find out you're pregnant and you gotta, you know, I mean, just prophesied right there. And you might find out, well, I need to eat something. Guys, listen, you're not pregnant. Okay? You may look it, but you're not pregnant. So the next four Fridays, consider some sort of fast. Wouldn't that be great if a lot of us in this church were fasting at some point on Friday? And when you're fasting, you're not just fasting, I'm just not eating. It's a whole other lesson I'm not going to get into. You don't tell people you're fasting. But then you got to pray, okay? The reason we fast is so we can show God we're serious, but so we can also focus. When your stomach starts growling, you're saying, Lord, you know how badly I'd like for my Sunday school class to get to the next level. Lord, you know how badly I'd like to win someone to Christ. Lord, you know how badly I'd like my bus ride to get to the next level. Lord, you know how badly I'd like to have my pew filled this week when I invite people to church. So there's going to be some fasting, okay? Let me add something. Of course, the Every Door Direct Mail we're working on, I found out this week that the place in Canton is more expensive than having it printed and shipped from Dallas, so I'm back to kind of square one, but I still have a goal of getting the Every Door Direct Mail cards out before the revival of October 8th. It's going to be tight to get that done, but we're working on that, okay? Let me talk to you about a couple of cottage prayer meetings, and I'll give you the lesson here, the message here. Again, I know the schedules, and so don't worry about it if your schedule doesn't work. But on Saturday, September 30th, and Saturday, October the 7th, so the two Saturday nights before the revival and leading into the last day of the campaign, at 7 p.m., I want to have some cottage prayer meetings, okay? Now, I don't think we've ever done these in my time, but if you're from our church in the past when my dad was here, you remember we used to have some cottage prayer meetings. I remember Brother and Mrs. Long, I remember going there as a child, Brother Miss Long's house. And I really want, I was talking to a preacher the other day, and I said, you know, God's blessed our church. We have a good church and just a good, you know, good age groups and whatever. I said, but I was talking to this preacher, he's old, 20 years older than me. And I said, but you know, you ever get to that place where it's just like, okay, well, I'm thankful for the blessings, but I'm tired of this level. I know there's something more. And the preacher was, yeah, absolutely. So I would like to see us now. The way that's going to have to work is this. We want it to be at some houses if possible. And I'll let you decide if your house might be open. I'd like to open up some houses geographically. If you divided Highway 80 and then 4th Street, and there's a quadrant and a quadrant and a quadrant. Now, I must have mentioned this in a message a few weeks ago about we might do some cottage prayer meetings, because my parents came to me immediately a couple weeks ago and said, we want to have cottage prayer meetings at our house. So if Dad's schedule doesn't pull him away on a Sunday, on a Saturday night, then my mom, my dad, and his dog are going to have their home open for you. So there's some folks around Edgewood, Kent, maybe could plan on, you know, we'll go over to Brother Miss Ogdy's house there. And these cottage prayer meetings are not going to be fellowship. It's not going to be cook your best casserole. It's going to be, let's get in there at 7 o'clock. I'm going to have a list. I'm not going to micromanage it. It's your home. So if you decide to have refreshments, but I'm saying that's not the purpose. The purpose is let's get in there at 7. Let's maybe pray for an hour. Girls go pray somewhere. Guys go pray somewhere. And guys get the living room with the cushions. Ladies, you can step outside. I'm just kidding. But so, you know, if you're, and I'm not trying to be ugly, because, you know, what is clean, you know, depends on who the person is. But, you know, if you're smoking marijuana in your house, please don't volunteer for a cottage prayer meeting, okay? We're not trying to get in the spirit before the revival. But if it's something you think that you could do, that you know, maybe get with me on that, and we can open up the church, but the idea basically is a cottage. It's a house. It's a let's go somewhere and let's pray for a little bit. I just really believe that I don't know if this is the right wording, but I really want to get God's attention from Will's Point. I want to say, God, you've been good to us, but I just believe there's something more. A lot of people have been talking about a Christian school, and I'm very skeptical of how and when, because it gets put so many headaches in a church. But I want to provide for you. But we're not going to do that at this level. Got to get to the next level. I believe with all my heart. I was telling my wife yesterday that I said I went to the youth in and out of that youth activity. Just kind of walked in and walked out. And they had a lower number than normal, and I realize there's sports and activities, but you young people ought to make that stuff important in your life. You're only going to be a young person once, and I promise you things of God are going to matter to you more than anything else down the road. But I left there. I told my wife, I said, Brother Trent, Miss Sarah, you know what they so badly need? They need another couple to work with them that is a spiritual couple, that both will be involved and both will love the young people, and they'll work not only with them, but for him. And he is not afraid to lead and step on toes if he has to. But I said, man, I would love to see God give us a couple that man. Now, I'm going to be protective of our young people, just like I'm protective of my own kids. So I'm not asking somebody to come up tonight and say, well, we thought maybe. I mean, I'm talking about a young couple that both of them can go to camp. A young couple that both of them could be at every activity. A young couple that not one that I know we got a lot of shift workers, people that help us out, and that's wonderful. But I just believe we pray about it. God will give them. He's got 2 or 3 years experience now, 3 years experience, I think, and I think he's ready. He needs that. But that's not all it is. But when you start getting to that next level, you start getting those things that your wish list, if you will. I want you to notice Ezekiel chapter 3 here. And verse number 16. The Bible says, it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. I'm in chapter 3, verse 17. Unto the house of Israel, therefore hear the word at my mouth, listen, and give them warning from me. Brother Roach is not here. I think they're in Alabama this weekend. But if he was here, he's a train guy. Of course, he doesn't load people up, I guess. But if you look it up in the dictionary, you know what all aboard means? It means a warning. All aboard, it means a warning that the train will be leaving soon. And God said to Ezekiel, you're going to go out and you're going to sound the warning. It means get on, get in, because we're out of here. Now, Brother Trent, as well as Brother Grice, mentioned that the last days are upon us. Even Brother Anderson talked about it a little bit this morning. So, folks, you know what it's up to us to do as a church? It's up to us to be shouting, all aboard, all aboard. That's going to be like Noah. All aboard, you're nuts, you're crazy. I've heard that stuff all my life from you crazy preachers. That doesn't matter. Let them say what they're going to say. God said, Ezekiel, they're going to give you funny looks. They're not going to listen to you. But I don't think God would have wasted his time. I think there must have been some that heeded that warning. So Ezekiel was sent to preach to the people of Israel while they were in captivity. You can say Judah, it was Judah, but it was Israel really as a people. You and I are sent to preach. Brother Anderson said it this morning, we're all preachers. Sometimes people misunderstand that. Miss Coral one time was speaking here and said something about preaching, and I had a lady, an older lady, ask me later, I thought ladies couldn't be preachers. And it's not what she meant in the sense of getting up here, but preaching is proclaiming. And that's what he was saying, was we're all here to proclaim the gospel. Now, you and I are sent to preach, to witness, to proclaim the gospel to a lost world that is held captive by sin and by the devil. And you remember what Jesus said. Let me read it to you in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18. If I can get there, he said this, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. And that's what we're here for, is to give this warning all aboard. I want you to notice several thoughts from Ezekiel 3 really quickly here. Number one is this. First of all, in Ezekiel 3, I want you to see the receiving. Back up to chapter 2, actually, verse number 9. He said, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me. And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. And Ezekiel was made to do some crazy stuff, including making bread out of dung. Y'all can explain that to the kids later. He said, that's in chapter 4, but verse 2, he said, so I opened my mouth, and he calls me to eat that roll. He said unto me, son of man, because thy belly, son of man, calls thy belly to eat, fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Okay? The receiving is this. Ezekiel was given the word of the Lord, just as you and I were given the gospel. When we were saved, we received it. And just like he just said, it was sweet, wasn't it, the day that you got saved? The Bible says in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So before Ezekiel could give it, he had to get it. And the simple fact is, you cannot give what you have not received. So I know it's a Sunday night, but the receiving is this. Be sure you're saved. Not just religious. Not just Baptist. Not just fundamental independent Baptist. Not just suit wearing. Not just long dress wearing. But that you truly remember the day you got born again. That's the receiving. Secondly, I want you to see the responsibility. The responsibility. Look at verse number 4. He said unto me, son of man. Anybody see that next word? Verse number 4. 3 and verse 4. I know you're writing stuff down. I surprised you. And he said unto me, son of man. What's that next word? That sound familiar? Go get thee unto the house of Israel. Speak with my words unto them. And then the next two verses, he's going to say this. I'm not sending you to the mission field. I'm not sending you to China. I'm not sending you to a place where you got to go up here and learn the language. And I love the fact, watch these missionaries coming through and the victories you see. Because he tells them in this passage, without reading it again, he says this, if I sent you to them, they would listen. And you see things on the mission field and you want to go to the mission field because you're like, man, sure seems like people listen. They're receptive of the gospel. Where here it's like, oh, I go to the Methodist church. You don't understand. I am Church of Christ. Oh, well, you don't understand. I'm Baptist. Are you saved? We had one. I forget who told me that now. But one, somebody said this, well, do you not see the cross right outside my house? Well, I'm sorry. That can you tell me whether or not you've ever been born again? All right, so the responsibility God gave Ezekiel that responsibility and said, now, you've received it. I've given you my word. In that case, I've given you this warning. Now, I want you to go and I want you to warn others. The responsibility is this for you and I. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Brother Anderson mentioned this morning about people saying, well, they brainwashed you down at that church. We are responsible. The third part of that Great Commission is teaching them to observe all things. And he said it. We're Bible washing you because we're responsible for Genesis to Revelation, not just the milk of the word, not just the parts that you like. So the responsibility is, God says, okay, number one, make sure you've received it. Now, number two, the responsibility is you make sure you tell somebody else. But can I give you the reality? In chapter 3 there, and I'm not trying to discourage you, I'm a realist. And I believe God is a realist also. Because in chapter 3 and verse number 7, he says this, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. Well, that's encouraging. We've read the text. I'm not going to read all those verses again tonight, but that kind of reminds me of a few verses in the New Testament. Jesus said this in John 3, course 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And listen to this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. There is an opportunity to be saved, and we're trying to tell them that. But then it says this, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let's be real. Not everybody's getting saved. But our job is not to make sure everybody gets saved. Our job is to make sure everybody gets told all aboard. This train's leaving. God's going to destroy this earth like that flood. Our job is to do what we're told. Well, Jesus said this in Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There's a lot of religion in that broad way. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. It's as narrow as that cross. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And God said it himself. Few there be that find it. So few there be. But here's my encouraging thought as I'm witnessing. Listen, few there be. Few there be. Somebody will listen. Jesus said in Matthew 10, I'll just paraphrase it for sake of time, but he said, you go and you knock and you witness. But if they want to blow you off, they want to be mean and ugly. He said, you walk away and you kick the dust off of your shoes, but you did your job to give them a warning. The receiving is, we got to make sure we're saved. Responsibility is, we need to share the gospel. The reality is, not everybody's just going to freely open the door and say, come in and have a glass of tea and thank you. Behold, you angel from God. Thank you for correcting me out of my Catholicism. Thank you for telling me as a Church of Christian that baptism does not save me. Thank you for telling me as a Methodist that my works are not going to get me to heaven. Not everybody's going to treat us that way. That's the reality, but I want to give you the reminder. Back in chapter 3 there, the reminder is this. He said in verse 14, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. He said, you know what? God was with me as I went out and did exactly what God told me to do. That kind of reminds me of a verse I just read. As you're witnessing, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then he stamps it. Amen. I like that message. Brother Bob Smith preaches no go, no low. No go, no low, all right? Why fill up your car if you're not going to drive it? Why fill it up to stick it in the garage? Why would God fill you with his power if you ain't going to witness for him? You got every excuse in the world for carnality and not being a witness. You go to the doctor, be a witness. You go to the store, be a witness. It's not always about taking a map and going down a street. You know why we do those sort of things? Yeah, that's a good systematic approach, but we do have every door direct mail. We're going to get the gospel in those homes. But yes, sometimes how can I except some man show me? So yeah, thank God for that. But you know why we say, let's have all in Saturday. We used to call it Saturation Saturday. Let's have soul winning Tuesday. Because the average Christian will not witness to anyone if they're not constantly pressed to do so. Because, I mean, you got your job and you got your kids. I'm amazed, young adults, at some of you that are praying for certain things in your life, but you refuse to get right with God about stuff. God's got the windows of heaven. I mean, I think he's already got it unlocked there. And he's saying, if you just get right about your tithe, he's saying, if you'll just get right about your witnessing, if you just get right about quit being worldly and carnal and hypocritical, get your priorities straight, I'm going to bless your life and your marriage and your home and your career. God's got such, and you're holding that back with disobedience. Man, I get just totally and completely right with God. Amen. And it's up to the man of that home to make sure that happens. And it's up to mom to say, I'm with you. Receiving, we have to receive it. Responsibility is we have to give it. The reality is not everybody's going to take it. But the reminder is, as I go, God is going to be with me. The last one is this, the reckoning. The reckoning. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. Came to pass at the end of the 7 days, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, give them warning for me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. We know that, right? Wages of sin is death. We realize second death is hell for eternity. And thou givest him not warning? No, all aboard? You're not even trying to tell somebody? Nor speakest to warn the wicked? I like that. Just saw that. Thou givest him not warning. That's like giving him a tract. Nor speakest to warn, that's actually talking to people. Nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to do what? Save. To save his life. You didn't even try to witness to your grandchild. You really love him. You didn't even try to witness to your nephew, your niece, the person that sat across the desk from you all those years at your job. You didn't want to bother them. God says, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Notice, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, we have no clue what that means. You can read 100 commentaries and it doesn't matter, because the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. We have no clue what that means. It does not mean you're going to lose your salvation, does it? It doesn't, because you can't. We know the Bible teaches that. Most of us have reasoned the thought that maybe what that means. The Bible says once we're in heaven, we'll ever be with the Lord. So maybe even at the great white throne judgment, we may be right there as witnesses. And what happens if God says, here, Grandparents Day, take your grandchild and you're going to usher them to the drop off into the lake of fire. Because you just wanted to have a happy birthday, a happy Christmas. You just wanted to have that happy Father's Day, that Mother's Day. You didn't want to talk about spiritual things. So here, help your grandchild into hell for eternity. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying God said, I'll require that employee that you drank coffee with and had a great time, but you never one time gave them the gospel. It's up to them what they're going to do with it. You never one time could hand them a tract. I'm not a perfect man, not at all, and I'm not perfect at witnessing, and I'm like many of you, man. I don't think about it enough, and I'm always going, and when we're together, my wife always has tracts in her purse, but oftentimes when she's not with me, I just don't have them on my person. I'll have them in my truck. I won't think to take them in the store. But I don't work in the secular world every day. Work around some secular people, but I don't work in the secular world every day. But friend, listen, all these people, Mr. Larry, I won't say much online here, but Mr. Larry, who's done a lot of work for us for years, I've witnessed to him. The man that did our gym work, texture work, and dropped dead of a heart attack a month later. We were his last project. But I know that I witnessed to him. He wouldn't be quiet long enough to listen, but I did what I could. The two boys that came in to do our plumbing for our urinals, I witnessed to them. And Mr. Larry has a nephew that came in and did a great job with our texture. He's probably my age. And I witnessed to him and gave him a gospel tract. Friend, we've got to be more alert to the fact that this train is about to leave. And there is a day of reckoning. And there is going to come a time where we stand before God. And you can go in my office. Old Larry walked in there the other day. He's like, "Ooh, you a hunter, huh? You a hunter?" I said, "Oh, I ain't killed anything in 10 years. I said, that's old stuff that I have. And what an insurance agent did the same thing the other day. I had to meet with the insurance agent. Like, man, you're an outdoorsman. Can you imagine going to the judgment seat of Christ? Look right there. Can you imagine going to the judgment seat of Christ saying, "Lord, hold on a minute. Let me roll up in my vehicle, show you how pretty it is." Could you imagine going to the judgment seat of Christ saying, "Lord, let me log on to my bank account and show you my investments." And God's going to say this. He's going to say, "Hey, numbskull, look down at what you're walking on right now. Transparent, purest gold." Yeah. But could you imagine? Stand up there for a second, John. Stand up there for a second. Could you imagine? Come here. I'm not going to embarrass you at all, but could you imagine standing at the judgment seat of Christ and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, you're the one. You are the one, humanly speaking, that gave me that tract. You're the one, humanly speaking, that told me about the Lord. You're the one that led me to the Lord. You're the one that preached when I got saved." There's a day of reckoning coming. And God says in that next verse, "Now, if you warn them and they do nothing, it's on them. But if we do nothing, it's on us." And what a horrible thought. It's going to be horrible enough. I don't know, and you don't know how it's all going to shake out there, but what a horrible thought. You could be seated there. What a horrible thought, period, to watch our family and friends and loved ones be cast into a devil's hell for eternity. When God says, "Their blood will I require at thine hand," it makes me want to pick up a gospel tract when I leave here tonight. And if I could do nothing else, I could mail it to my kid, my grandkid, my nephew, my aunt, my uncle. I could do something because we're the ones that know this train is about to leave. And when it does, you know what I think's happening? I know it's going to happen. Just like that ark, Brother Anderson. God's closing that door at the rapture. For those who have heard the gospel, he's closing that door. All right, so that's what All Aboard is about. God's keeping score. The day of judgment is coming for the lost as well as the saved. So I say one more time tonight, All Aboard. Let's all get on board for this special four-week push. This is worth reminding you of. Brother Mike Wells there in Mesquite was saved because someone at a fair, state fair or something, simply handed him a gospel tract and went on about their way. Brother Mike Files, who just retired after 29 years of pastoring, maybe it was 23 years, I'm not sure yet, but 29 years of pastoring, and just retired. He started a little bit older in life, like Brother Anderson did. He started in ministry a little bit older in life. They went by his house, you've heard it, they gave him a gospel tract. He's an old Arkansas boy. And they gave him a gospel tract. He didn't want it. He set it on the table. And I forget if it was days or weeks later, and he came back and just read it. And God got a hold of his heart. And he got saved. His boy, his son, his daughter-in-law, his three grandchildren. Some of them are home now, but missionaries over in, I believe it's Thailand, off the top of my mind. All because of gospel tract, where the person that knocked on his door that night would say, I did my job, but I really wasn't successful. And they will never know, probably till they get to heaven. You know, that was you. That was you. I wrote this down. Brother Duncan's yesterday mentioned this to me. I said, that's in my sermon tomorrow night. Brother Larry McKinney was with us last week, two or three weeks ago now. And when he said this, I wrote it down. I've had it on my desk ever since. In fact, I put it in my Bible now so I can use it down the road. Someone is at the end of your obedience just waiting. Someone is at the end of your obedience just waiting. You may not know at the moment that they got saved. That is not our job. It's great. But that is not our job. And if we wait to see every single result, we're going to get discouraged and we're going to quit on this spiritual matter. Our job is to warn people all aboard. All right, let's get involved.